We come then to Psalm 46 and to consider the first three verses of this psalm. My preparation time for preaching this afternoon has not been what I could have wished. However, that deficiency is more than compensated for by this, that here we come along, and I've been preaching in the Psalms last week, a final time in Psalm 45, and today, of all days, we come to these glorious words here in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. So God has a word for us this afternoon from Psalm 46. His hand is behind bringing this word to you today. We have in these first three verses of Psalm 46, well, I should say, the title. It is one of the Psalms of the Sons of Korah, which we've noted. It is amongst the portion of the Psalter where we find the divine name God used in preference to the divine name Lord or Jehovah, which is the reverse of the pattern elsewhere. We find that it's described as a song upon Alamoth. And I reviewed and looked up and said, Alamoth means virgins. I suppose if I had more time, I could search into it more, but here's a simple-minded thought. We read this morning, didn't we, about the company following Christ. They are virgins. They haven't defiled themselves with women, and they know the song that no one else knows. And they have a source of strength that no one else has. So here is a song for Christ's virgins, those who are devoted to him in heart and life. And it is a very joyful song, a confident song of trusting in the Lord. After the title, we have these first three verses. The psalm is punctuated by the Spirit himself with the term Selah. This, it would seem, a pause. And so the first three verses and then the first Selah, we'll consider those three verses. We have within these verses an example of invincible logic. And it's wonderful. We saw that before in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here is a premise. The Lord is my shepherd. Here is the conclusion. I shall not want. The foundation is sure. The premise of the argument is firm. It's the language of faith. We have to have faith. The Lord is my shepherd. The premise is true. The conclusion can't fail. We can take it into the fire. We can take it into the water and the wilderness. I shall not want. So likewise, in the 46th Psalm, we have another example of this invincible logic. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Here is the premise. God is our refuge and strength. Here is the conclusion with mighty, invincible force. Therefore will not we fear. Just consider the premise and then the conclusion. The premise, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It starts with the divine name, God Elohim, the mighty one, the first one to whom we should be looking, more so than even to a quaking, tottering earth in tumult or raging nations. We should look to the God who made all and whose power as Elohim is almighty. And God is what is he in and of himself? God is the I Am, absolute and all-sufficient in and of himself. But he's also something to us. God to us, a refuge and strength. The words run in the original. God is something to us. How can God, the mighty one, be something to us? How can there be any connection between him who is exalted above the highest heavens and us now in our circumstances and such as we are? It is God's condescension, which he has been pleased to express, as we confess it, by way of a covenant. It can only be through the mediation of Christ and him who was broken, the bread of life broken, that we might eat, his side pierced so that blood and water might flow forth. Only through the God-man, bruised and broken and then raised from the dead, can any bond stand between God and us. But there is a mediator and there is a testament, as we've seen. And so we say God is to us a refuge and strength. This is the language of faith. God is to us. Faith appropriates the promises of God. Faith, in its proper exercise, doesn't simply say, I assent that this truth over here is factual. Faith doesn't just say, yes, it is a fact that God to some is a refuge and strength, but faith takes the promise and brings it home. It lays hold on what God offers. God in his gospel through Jesus Christ offers to any who thirst, come to me and drink. Come to me and take refuge. Flee into the ark of safety. God offers in his gospel to be refuge and strength to you by Jesus Christ. And what does faith do? Faith takes what God is offering and applies it to self and says, God is our refuge and our strength. This is the language of faith. Do you believe the word? Do you apply the word and appropriate the word through faith? This is the language of experience. God is to us refuge and strength. Where faith is present, then faith is tested. And the testing of faith we call experience. And so the believer doesn't just know theoretically God is refuge and strength to me, to us. But the believer knows I've walked through the fire with the Lord and his promise to me has proved true. I've been through affliction, and the Lord hasn't failed me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is the language of experience. Do you have experience of trusting and taking refuge in God in times of trouble? We're all thinking about that question, and we have to think about it now. We're troubled and in tumult. Do we have just the language of faith, or do we have the experience of abiding in God who offers himself as refuge and strength? This is the language of faith. It's the language of experience, and it's also the language of confession. This is what we say. This is what we sing. And let's open the doors and let our neighbors hear while they're burying their dead in the cemetery. Let them hear that we have something to say about our God, that he is to us refuge and strength. Let us confess it before the world, saying, our God is faithful. He will not fail us. And so we will boast of what he has promised. God is to us refuge and strength. That's faith. That's experience. That's confession. And we find, what do we believe, experience, and confess? That God is to us refuge and strength. That we, in abiding and sheltering in God, abide behind walls that are as strong as God himself is. He is a hiding place to his believing people, and not a hiding place in which there is fear of being shut in and left without resources. Because as we go on to sing and confess, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. We should hide ourselves in our God, and we don't then hide in a city where we will be famished, but a city where we will be supplied with life and water and made glad. We confess, we believe that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And there our confessing and believing and experiencing is raised to another step and degree. A very present help. Literally something like a help to be found very much. God is ready to be found. And if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. He promises you in his word that you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. We have that in 2 Chronicles 15:4. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. God is pleased to be found of those who seek him. Are you seeking God? You must seek God. You have every encouragement to seek God. He will not only be found, he will be found very much. And when will he be found? In trouble. And as our metrical version says, in straits, a present aid. When we are confined, when we are hemmed in and can't get free of the narrow space through which we must pass, it is then that God is our refuge and strength, and he is very much to be found now in trouble. In one sense, God is more near now than ever to his believing people. The change is not in God himself, no, but his dispensations towards us vary, and it is in trouble that he moves his people more to seek him, and he is more abundantly and fully found by them. This is the premise. Is this your premise? Is this your faith, your experience, and your confession? There is no other cornerstone to stand upon. No other premise you can stand upon. But standing upon this premise, then look what the conclusion is. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, standing on this, we reach this conclusion. Therefore, will not we fear. The conclusion is a resolution to not be afraid. Notice, we do something in this conclusion. We resolve to not fear. And we acknowledge, yes, the Lord is the one who keeps his people who take refuge in him from being afraid. Yes, God does the work. We have the Holy Spirit, what is his name? Comforter. It's the Spirit who does the work of comforting. But the believer hiding in God through Christ is not inactive in sanctification and the working out of salvation. If this is your premise, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, if that's your faith, experience, and confession, there's something you must do. You must resolve that you will not be afraid. Now, not every last fear is sinful, so we could have a kind of fear, the burner on the oven is on high, and I fear that if I put my hand on it, I will burn my hand, and therefore, in that fear, I'll refrain from putting my hand on the burner. So there can be useful expressions of fear that don't involve sin, and I'm sure I'm lacking the categories at the moment to express the difference for you, but we must resolve against all sinful fear. We heard this morning, fear God. So how do we know when fear is right? When there is one, God himself, who is the towering, dominating power and control over heart and life. When God is our supreme fear, then other fears, and yes, there can be such a thing as non-sinful fear, but they take their place when we fear God first. Any fear that turns us out of the way of duty or makes us shrink back from opportunities to serve the Lord is a sinful and inappropriate fear. But we need to resolve absolutely against fear, sinful fear, that is. And when should we resolve? We must resolve not to fear no matter what happens. Take the hypothetical worst case scenario. Even if the very worst thing happens, we don't know what's going to happen, but suppose the worst thing does, it's put in a hypothetical way. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, imagine it as concretely and vividly as you please, this fabric of creation that stood for however many millennia. And suppose it's all taken apart in the most astonishing manner. Suppose it does happen. We will stand on our foundation and we will resolve we are not going to fear. Let's speak of the two cases that Peter spoke of. We read 1 Peter chapter 3. So we have this background there in the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And so let's look then by way of illustration and application here in 1 Peter chapter 3 at two categories of people who especially must not be afraid. And the first category is wives. Our dear godly women, I lovingly charge you, do not be afraid. What you should do is by prayer to cultivate a meek and quiet spirit. Cultivate by prayer and the meditation on the Word of God a spirit that isn't darting here and there and troubled and tossed. And obey your husband. Tell him, yes, sir. He says, here's how we're going to do something. I've thought about the different scenarios and so on. Honey, here's what we're going to do. And you salute him. And you say, yes, sir. And you don't be afraid. Don't be afraid with any amazement. The most surprising thing that you weren't anticipating, don't fear it. Be a daughter of Abraham, daughter of Sarah, and say, God is our refuge and our strength. I'm going to look that fear in the eye and say, we will not fear, though the earth remove. And then husbands, I'm telling your wives that they need to not be afraid. And what you need to do is to acknowledge something about your wife. She is the weaker vessel. And she shouldn't be afraid with any amazement, but she's made of flesh and blood. She's not made out of steel. And she's made out of a kind of flesh and blood that's weaker in its constitution than you are. So you, God put a backbone in you, oh man. And so you be gentle with your wife. And you lead her along. You love her. And pray with her that your prayers might not be hindered. And if there's a conflict in the relationship, we got to resolve it and work it through so we can pray together. So you can take your gentle wife under your wing and say, let's go to the throne of grace. Wives should not be afraid. And witnesses should not be afraid. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We are in times of distress, and we will be persecuted. I don't want to give undue credit or attention to a whisper that is really nothing, but let me say, we're going to be falsely accused for the fact that we met today. There are people who hate it and who are going to say, you did the wrong thing and it was irresponsible. And we need to not be afraid of their terror or be troubled. We need to say, God is our refuge and our strength in straits of present aid. Therefore will not we fear. When the times are such that we're prone to be criticized for righteousness' sake, when other people are losing their minds and terrified and lashing out, they don't hardly know which direction they're lashing out at. But some of their lashing out lands on you or us. What do we do? Oh, Peter's telling us what we do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid with their terror. Let the terrified thing, let it be their thing. Don't be troubled, but be doing this. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, as we heard this morning. Fear God and give glory to Him. Think about what a great God we have and what His promises are and the warrant that we have to take this great God for our refuge. Sanctify Him. Regard Him as holy. And then be ready. Fear God and give Him glory. So then be ready to say something with your mouth. As you are untroubled, unterrified, something will be evident about you. Hope, the hope that is in you. Be ready to talk about your hope, to confess. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be ready to tell people why you're not terrified. And do it with meekness and fear. Fear God, and don't be proud or swaggering. Be humble, meek, and fear the Lord, but don't be afraid of men. Well, the timeliness of the Word of God, we praise Him for that. And may the Lord teach us these things by His grace. Amen. And would you stand with me as we pray? O Lord, our God and our Father in heaven, we bless Thy name and we bless Thee for the refuge that we're given in Thy presence. And do help us to stand upon the premise that cannot fail and to believe and enter in by faith and so to confess and resolve. Therefore will not we fear. And forgive our many sins. And help us to cultivate meekness in it all, but also confidence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we're standing together,